You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action from Fontwell, Wetherby, Newbury, Lingfield in the afternoon and then into the evening it's Wolverhampton and Dundalk on the all-weather. Stephen Powell, Andrew Mountain, Mick Naughton will be live from 1:30pm on Racing Radio to guide you through the action. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is Paddy Aspel. Hello, Paddy.
How are you, Sam?
I'm not bad at all, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, pal.
Good. Are we any closer to seeing you back in the saddle, Paddy?
Yeah, I was in here the other day, actually. Can't remember, or it might have been the week before when Ross was on. And yeah, I've applied for both my licences again,
right.
Actually, flat and jump. It's just really paperwork, really. You do have to apply for your licences online now, which is pretty, it's very quick, but it's just paperwork as far as consultant reports and stuff like that. But I'm riding out every day, school and riding work, very busy.
Yeah.
So, please God, we're good to go again at long last.
Good stuff. Speaking of flat and jumps, we're very much getting towards that time of the season, aren't we, Paddy? We've got still got Aintree and Punchestown to come, but we've got the Lincoln on Saturday, and then the flat season kicks off proper in a few weeks after that. Loads to look forward to across both codes, but Aintree, first of all, obviously coming up next week, the Grand National Meeting, and Willie Mullins, well, can't be said that he's not going to have a real good go at this British Trainers title. Anything we fit is going to run. Is the line out of Clough Sutton?
Really, is that the status now?
Yeah, anything that that could go will go.
I mean, I can see obviously it's gone down to the wire after such a Cheltenham that Willie Mullins had. I think it was always on the cards, but in a way, it takes in the race a little bit because it's a bit sort of like your Irish Derby, isn't it? You know, you'll have 7 Aidan O'Brien runners, and so there's people that I'm sure are very, very keen to run are going to miss out maybe for other candidates from Willie Mullins' yard who probably maybe aren't even entry candidates really, or entry types, but look, that's the way it is, and if they're higher up the handicap system, they deserve to take their chance. But certainly, I mean, I think there's only, it's about 200 grand, is it, between Willie and
I think it's less than that. I think it's about 150 grand between the pair.
I mean, I remember looking at it a few months ago when it was when he was priced up so short and he was so far behind him. But obviously, it was all geared towards Cheltenham and the money that he was going to accumulate there, and that's how it's manifested. And so yeah, it's amazing how actually tight it's got. Cause how many winners has Mullins actually had?
He had 7 at Cheltenham, but in Britain, I mean, it must be numerically a fraction of the number Paul Nicholls has.
He's just
dominated those big races.
It's crazy. But yeah, that said, I'm pleased for Paul Nicholls the way things have turned around for him, because he had an average first half, but he's had a real strong finish. And I just think the way he's handled everything, you know, he never seemed to get stressed or, you know, I just think he's handled himself very well. I'm pleased that his horses have come back now. And luckily for him, they came right just at the right time, because although he didn't have any huge winners in Cheltenham, he had a very good Cheltenham. But I was very pleased for him. And like I say, the whole thing is going to go right down to the wire now.
Yeah, that's right. If I was to force you to nail your colours to the mast, do you think Willie Mullins can rein him in, Paddy?
I think he could. I mean, because even though obviously the Cheltenham is their Olympics, Willie Mullins got a great record at Aintree too.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them horses even that won at Cheltenham, you couldn't say they were championship races. They didn't really have hard races. So they could turn up relatively fresh horses at Aintree. So I think it's very, very possible.
Yeah, certainly so. And of course, we've got flat action coming back, Paddy. The Lincoln on Saturday has seen Lord of the Land be absolutely hammered in the betting. Opened up 20-1 when the market first opened. William Haggis's intended runner, Mitrad, was withdrawn yesterday, which has helped contract his price. But 9-2 now we go for David O'Meara's run. It's a crazy price though, Lincoln, surely.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I seen a documentary or a piece on him during the week and at the races, and he was quite bullish. Horse looked very well, actually, although we haven't seen him in this country yet. You know, his French form is so, so strong, but he looked a real, real good bit of kit. And it just looks like a proper plot here by Dave O'Meara. It's going to be very interesting. It's got, I mean, look, it's going to be interesting on the day to see how the ground is riding, because, I mean, for me, I'm not sure there's a massive draw bias on the straight course at Doncaster. I don't actually, maybe the stats could prove me wrong, but just my own experience, it just depended all on the day where the best ground was. There was no real preference as to regards low or high draw. Generally, I prefer myself to be middleish, you know, that you weren't really out on a limb either way, and then you had the option of going left or right. But, you know, they seem to think that he's in box six, isn't he? And there's another hard Bravo Zolo's got stalled seven, and, you know, or stalled two, sorry, but I don't know. For me, my own preference wouldn't be either side.
Okay,
I'd be happy to be mid-div, and like I say, you've got more options.
Yeah.
But no, this Lord of the Land thing, it's very, very interesting. There's no doubt.
Yeah, as you say, it does look like a genuine plot. And of course, we're only a month away from the 2000 Guineas, Paddy. I can't believe Aidan O'Brien's only going to send one runner. He normally has quite a few darts at it, although Air Force Blue does look a bit of a tool.
Yeah, it's a bit of a turnaround, really, isn't it? And something we're not used to, because he does
mob-handed in the race normally.
Yeah, fires plenty of bullets, doesn't he? But he just seems to have been sort of quite selective. But that said, it's sort of, like I mentioned earlier about the Irish Derby type thing, I think it can be a better achievement by a trainer when they're a bit more selective with the runners, because, you know, they're fine-tuning that one horse for that one race rather than thinking, well, if I run five, you know, we've got to be heavily involved. I just think it's maybe even more showing his talents even more.
Yeah, and it allows him to plunder other races as well. The likes of Hit It A Bomb might be able to go and win the French Guineas rather than finishing third in the Newmarket Guineas.
That's right, yeah. You know, it just seems that maybe he's been a little bit more selective for individuals, which could pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on though now, Paddy, to matters closer at hand. We'll look at some of Friday's action. We've got three from Newbury and the lucky last at Wolverhampton to bring you on today's edition of the podcast. We start with Newbury's 225, however, a handicap chase here over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. Seven runners are down for this class three. Who's on your mind for this one, Paddy?
Well, Niamh Holland, he didn't have when I looked, his horse at the top wasn't jocked up, Velator. But that was my selection. It's full of a race, really, of horses that are a little bit difficult to win with. Quite consistent, but generally difficult to win with. Now, this chap himself, he's a course winner. He is quite consistent. He's got top weight to carry here, but, I mean, he's not won for a little while. But, I mean, although his form reads okay numbers-wise, he's actually not been getting that close to the winners, which is a little bit worrying. But the Niamh Holland Yard is in very, very good order. He's also got the old lad in here with Dennis O'Regan booked to ride. But this chap carries the cheek pieces. And off a mark of 1-2-4, I think the race has cut up slightly, and it's not that competitive as regards recent form coming into the race. So Velator really would be small stakes, tentative selection, but probably the form of the stable pushes me to Velator. But like I say, not a major win candidate, but I think carrying top weight, apparently he's the best horse in the race, and Niamh Mulholland might just have found him a winnable opportunity here.
Okay, Velator for Paddy then in the 225. We go to the 335 now at Newbury. Novices limited handicap chase for us here, just shy of 3 miles the trip for this one. Seven runners are down to contest it. And you have to say, of the seven runners, Paddy, only two managed to complete last time. It could take some finding.
Yep, and that's, now that you mentioned that, the one I've selected, I've taken the chance, is the horse at the bottom, Sam. Potter's Cross. Now, this horse hasn't won, God, for a long time, but he stood very, very little racing. Rebecca Curtis, I'm sure, is quite... He looks like a very frustrating type of horse to train. He's tricky, hasn't had much racing, and so far this year, although he was well beat on his reappearance run when he did unship his jockey, last time, he was given a fell, but I mean, it was it was difficult to read between the two. It was an unseated fell, but it was a horrific mistake. But he was going very, very well at the time, was still heavily involved in the race, and if he'd have stayed on his feet, I think would have gone close. That was a chip stone, very, very bad ground. He's in there tomorrow off 10 stone 3, so he has come into the weights in the race. The jockey booking is probably the biggest thing for me. Trevor Whelan rides. Very, very big fan of Trevor Whelan. I think he's a very, very underrated rider. Neil King stable jockey. And I think if he can manage to put this fella's best jumping foot forward tomorrow, he's definitely got a chance. Because this horse, although he is 9-year-old, he's only actually run 9 times, Sam. You know, he's got very limited mileage. He's only won 1 race. I think he's a very tricky customer to train. But if things could drop right tomorrow, and he's up against plenty of other individuals who also struggle in the jumping department. So one thing he's going to need is a clear passage himself. But if he gets his act together, I think Rebecca Curtis, whose horses are in slightly better form, is very, very hit and miss yard for me this year. There's times you can think she's turned the corner.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, quite can go through a quiet spell, then reappears again, goes in real fits and starts, a bit like the Tim Vaughan yard. But that would be similar to Velator, a little bit tentative, but I think if he can get his jumping together tomorrow, he'd have a big, big chance.
Okay, passes crossed then. The one Paddy's chancing in the 3:35. We stay at Newbury then for their 4:10. A handicap hurdle now over an extended 2-mile trip. 7 runners down to contest this. A couple of interesting candidates here, Paddy, including a rare runner over the obstacles for Her Majesty.
Yeah, the one I did go for in the end, it was between Tundra Sheik of Nigel Twiston's. He's a recent winner. But I was going to stick with the horse that's got top weight, Gallaball.
Mm.
This 6-year-old has really got his act together this year. Now, Dickie Johnson was jocked up to ride him, but I see that they have put Micheál Nolan down to ride him. But that doesn't put me off one bit. Although Tom O'Brien has won 2 of his last 3 on him, Micheál Nolan was on board once. And this course and distance winner, I mean, he absolutely bolted up the last day. And that was over course and distance. So it was very, very impressive. And just looks like a horse that's in the form of his life right now. And I think he could go for the 4-timer here off the back of that 7-length win here last time off a mark of 1.43.
Okay, Gallaball then chasing the 4-timer, gets the nod for Paddy in the 4.10. We go to Wolverhampton's lucky last now, the 8.45. A bit of all weather action for us here. A 7-furlong handicap to come. 9 runners down to contest this one. It looks potentially quite competitive on paper, Paddy.
Yeah, competitive enough. Horses coming down in grade as well, and plenty of horses with course and distance form. The one I was actually going to side for was Mr. Christopher, Sam. I would forgive him his last run. He was apprentice ridden, and it was at Kempton. But prior to that, Richard Kingscote has got a great record on this course distance winner. He's got a nice draw in 3. He's off a mark at 66 now, which he does struggle to get competitive off. But I think, given that nice draw and Richie Kingscote back on board, I think this horse could go well in the last at Wolverhampton tomorrow evening.
Mr. Christopher, then Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscote teaming up on that one. Just remind us, please, then, Paddy, your 4 selections for the action on Friday.
The 2:25 at Newbury Velator for Neil Mulholland. The 3:35, I've taken a risk here, hoping that his jumping holds up for Potter's Cross down at the foot of the weights. In the 4:10, Gallaball to continue his winning streak and to rack up the 4-timer for Philip Hobbs. And in the last at Wolverhampton, I have gone for the Richie Kingscote ridden Mr. Christopher.
Thank you very much, Paddy, and enjoy the action over the coming weeks and months.
Thanks, Sam.
And remember to tune in to Racing Radio tomorrow from 1:30 p.m. Friday afternoon. Stephen Powell, Andrew Mount and Mick Norton are guiding you through the action at Fontwell, Weatherby, Newbury and Lingfield in the afternoon with Wolverhampton and Dundalk on Friday evening. Best of luck if you are having a bet. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.